Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Zvachim is Kuf Yud Tes, second to last daf in the Masechta. We are on Kuf Yud Ches towards the bottom of the Amud at the two dots, four lines from the very bottom. Once again, we are going over the end of the 14th parak of Zvachim, and in which we are discussing the history of Karbanos, when Karbanos were brought, at what historical period of time. We already divided history from the period of before the Mishkan to the time of the Mishkan. We then looked at the 40 years of the Mishkan. Then after that, 14 years of being in, where the Mishkan was in Gilgal, upon our entrance into Eretz Yisrael. That was the first time where we were in Eretz Yisrael. We did have a makeshift Mizbeach and a makeshift Beis HaMikdash, but that was in Gilgal. And during that period of time, there was a Heter Bamos. There was an allowance to bring Bamos for everybody. What were they allowed to bring on their Bamos during the 14 years of Gilgal? So go back to Kuf Yud Zayin. Look at the Bryce over there. We're going to review some of it a little bit later this morning, and we're going to see that we already saw that there was a five-way machlokas amongst the Tanaim, exactly what was brought during this period of time. Then we turn our attention to Shiloh. The Mishkan was then taken to Shiloh, built in Shiloh. Shiloh, as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, was a bit of a hybrid between being a temporary location and a permanent location. This is reflected most clearly by the fact that it had stone walls around it, but at the same time, the roof was made up of curtain. It was made up of a temporary material, like a tent. And so the Shiloh, even though it was up there for 369 years, which historically is, you know, not a blip on the map, but at the same time, however, it was also pretty clear that that wasn't going to be the permanent structure. There were 57 years separating Shiloh, the destruction of Shiloh, and the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech. During those 57 years, the Mishkan was situated both in Nov and in Givon. We'll talk a little bit more about that in greater detail later this morning. During these 57 years, once again, there was a resumption of Heter Bamos. People were allowed to bring Karbanos in their backyards. And then, once Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, that's it. That's the permanent location of the Mizbeach. And from that point going forward, the only allowance is to bring Karbanos on in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. That is a sketch. That's a rough sketch of all the history that we learned. What the Gemara was doing yesterday, and this is where we are in the middle of discussing, is how do I know that Shiloh was 369 years? There is nowhere in the Navi itself that references that Shiloh was up that many years. What numbers do we know from the Navi? So we know that the Navi tells us very clearly that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash 480 years after we left Mitzrayim. And what we did yesterday, and just quickly go over it again, is that basically what we did is we took 480 years, which we know separated Yetzias Mitzrayim to the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, which, by the way, if you could just take a moment to process, that means nearly five centuries. Before Beis HaMikdash was actually before the Beis HaMikdash was actually built, so history does sometimes take its time. So but 480 years between the two, and then what we're going to do is we're going to knock out the years that we do know about, and whatever years are left over are the years that the Mishkan was in Shiloh. So we established already yesterday that of the 480 years, we already know that 40 of those years. We were in the desert. 14 of those years was the years of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. That's the part we went over yesterday. And then that's already 54 years. What we're going to learn over the course of the rest of yesterday's daf and the beginning of this morning's daf is how do we account for the rest of the years that we know about. That gets us to the number 111. Again, the number 111. Once we get to the number 111, we're going to subtract it from 480. And that brings us to 369. And that's how we know that the Mishkan and Shiloh was set up for 369 years. With all that stated, now we go to the Gemara. We see the Gemara inside, four lines from the bottom. Ohel Moed Shebeno V'Givon. So the Ohel Moed that was in Nov and in Givon. 77 years. I'm just going to go back one more quick moment, and then we'll start with the Gemara. In terms of 7 years of conquering and dividing, so where does the Navi say that explicitly? So this part was a little bit tricky, we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. 7 years of conquering. Actually, we do know that for sure. Kalev, based on the years of Kalev's life, we know that Kalev was 40 at the time where he was sent to be a spy. That means that upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael, he was 78 years of age. He says at the end of the conquering that he was 85 years of age. So we know the conquering took 7 years. How about the dividing of the land? How do we know that that took place? That took place over the course of 7 years. So that was not explicitly mentioned in the Navi. And so we arrived at that conclusion from one of two different ways. Either number one was the Gemara said yesterday, it's a Svara. It's a simple argument that if conquering the land took place, took a duration of 7 years, so too dividing the land must take place, must have taken place 7 years as well. Admittedly, that's a difficult Svara. The Gemara said it. Obviously, conquering and dividing are two separate activities. Why the Gemara assumes that they have a one-to-one ratio, the Gemara did not explicate, but that's one possibility. Another possibility, says the Gemara, is that we work backwards based on the fact that we know that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the Yovel year. And this is something which we didn't go through in detail yesterday, and I'm still not going to go through it in detail, but if you take a look at the Rashi on the bottom of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Rashi is on the bottom of the first column, and Rashi then navigates to the top of the second column. So you'll see that Rashi over here actually goes through the history in terms of deducing that it must be that we didn't start counting Shemitah and Yovel until year 15 upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael. Again, I'm not going to go through the history and the math right now, but if you take a look at Rashi says that that seemingly is a conclusion. If that's a conclusion, that would be another good proof that we didn't start, that we didn't conquer and divide the land until 14 years upon being in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, again, that was just a review of what we saw yesterday. Now we're back in the Gemara, O Moshe ben Ovi, given Chamishim v'Shiva, Menale. Now we are counting the 57 years that the Ohel Moed was in the cities of Nov and Givon. So in other words, we are after the destruction of Shiloh, and we are before the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech. Now we are going to go over the fact that it was a total 57 years, and we're going to source all this information. How do I know this? Dechziv, Ayhi, Kaskiros, Aaron, Elokim. When Eli died, so Shiloh was destroyed. So now we have a moment historically where we know that Shiloh was destroyed. Uvalanov, Harvanov. And when Shmuel died, Nov was destroyed. Uvalu Givon, and then it was taken to Givon. Uksiv Ayhim Yom Shavas Aaron Bikiras Yarim, Vyarbu Yamin, Vahiasum Shana. Vayanhu kol Beis Yisrael Acharei Hashem. And we know that it was 20 years between the period of time where the Aaron left Shiloh and before it was taken to Ir David. So, Hani Esrim Shana, Esr Shana Shamalach. Now, of these 20 years that we just described, so let's break down these 20 years. So, we are now looking at 20 years between the destruction of Shiloh and the Aaron being moved to Ir David. So Esr Shana Shemalach Shmuel Ba'atzmo. So first of all, the 10 years that Shmuel himself served as the ruler. In other words, he was a shofet from the time of Eli's death until Shaul was appointed to be king. Rashi over here goes through the Pesukim inside in terms of sourcing exactly how we know this. Vishana Shemalach Shmuel. Sorry. Right, yeah. Vishana Shemalach Shmuel Vishal. Now we have another year where Shmuel and Shaul were co-leaders. A very, very interesting description of Shmuel and Shaul being co-leaders. But in other words, even as Shaul was being anointed, Shmuel was still considered a partner in leadership of the Jewish people. Then, of course, Shaul was given instructions to wipe out Amalek. He did not follow instructions. And Shmuel left Shaul. So Shaul then, Shtaim Shemalach Shaul. Shaul then served as king for an additional 2 years, but no longer with the support and the backing of Shmuel. So Visheva de David, Dechziv, Ayamim, Asher Malach David Yisrael, Memshana Bechevron, I'm sorry, Memshana, Kama, Bechevron Malach Zion, Shanim. So, and we know that David Amalach then was in Chevron for the next 7 years. So, let's just do a sum total of the years that we just reported. 10 years belonging to Shmuel, serving as a leader by himself. Another year where Shmuel and Shaul led together. Another 2 years where Shaul led by himself. Another 7 years where David was the king, but only in Hebron, not in Yerushalayim. So that makes up now 10, 1, 2, 7. That makes up now 20 years. So that is 20 years post-Shiloh. We're not done yet. The Uvishlomo, I'm sorry, Now we can add on to that another 33 years, because that was the conclusion of David HaMelech's reign in Yerushalayim. And then, and then we know that Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, but in year 4 of his reign. So that means to say now that we're going to add another 33 years of David ruling in Yerushalayim, and Shlomo being a ruler for 4 years. So Nishtairu L'Shilo, so now what is left over? So what is that left over? Shalosh Meos V'Shivim Chaser Achas, 369 years for Shiloh. So now let's just do a quick sum total again. So basically, again, the number is 480. That's the Navi says that very clearly, that it was 480 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim until the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. And now, of the 480 years, what are we deducting? So we are deducting 40 years that we were in the desert, 14 years of conquering and dividing, 10 years of Shmuel ruling by himself, a year where Shmuel and Shaul ruled jointly, 2 years where Shaul ruled by himself, 7 years where David ruled in Chevron, 33 years where David ruled from Yerushalayim, 4 years where Shlomo ruled without the Beis HaMikdash. That now brings us to a total of 111. Take those 111 years, deduct it from the 480, and we're left now with 369 years where the Mishkan was in Shiloh. Continuing in the Gemara Bala Novin Givon. So we get to Novin Givon. Menahan Emili, Tan Rabbanan. Now, when we get to Novin Givon, so what did we learn back on the Mishnah? Again, the Mishnah, all the Mishnahs are located on Kuf Yud Beis. So when we got to Novin Givon, so now there was an allowance to offer Bamos after Shiloh was destroyed, but before the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim. We now know that that was a total of 57 years. So this is a longer period of time, longer than the 14 years of Gilgal. This is a longer period of time in which there was a heter bamos. If we go back to the Mishnah, I'm just going to reread the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, the ba'u lenovi givon, we got to nov in givon, huchu habamos, so the bamos were permitted, karche kadashim nechalem lifnim minekalayim, as far as any carbon that falls into the category of karche kadashim, chatos, asham. So it was eaten within the curtains of whatever makeshift Mishkan was set up in Novin Givon, and Kachim Kalam Bechol Ari Yisrael. Now Kachim Kalam could be eaten anywhere Bechol Ari Yisrael. Okay, so that's what we have in the Mishnah regarding Novin Givon. And the Gemara now discusses. Menah Nimi L'Tan Rabbanan. How do I know this? The Torah says, Kilo Basa Ma'arata Ela Menucha Ve'Ela Nachla. So again, we quote again from this week's Sedra, Parshas Re'eh. The Torah says that you have not yet arrived at the point of neither Menucha nor Nachala. So, El Menucha Zushilo, Nachla Zushilayim. So, as we already identified a number of times, Menucha is a reference to Shiloh, and Nachala is a reference to Yushalayim. Lama Chilkan. Why does the Torah divide the two? Why does the Torah give us two different edifices? Kedei Litein Heter Bein Zela Zeh. So that there will be an allowance between the two. Meaning that if the Torah just wanted to say that once Shiloh is up, we can no longer there's no longer an allowance of Bamos. So the Torah would have just simply said Menucha, and that would have been it. By virtue of the fact that the Torah goes over Menucha and Nachala, so that gives us an indication, says the Gemara, that between the two edifices, so there was an allowance to offer Karbanos in our backyards. Amar le Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, Maiser Sheni Nami Lisnei. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, so if that's true, so Maiser Sheni should also be included in the Mishnah. Now, what does the Gemara mean by this when the Gemara says that Maaser Sheni should be included in the Mishnah? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. So, Ihachi Deshas Heter Havai. So, if this is now an allowance, the time of allowance, Naisi Nami Maaser Sheni, Lenova Givon. So, Maaser Sheni should be brought to Novin Givon. Sharei Nistalku Kol Kedusha Shilo, Umai Time Lotanam Bemasnisan Lochlo Sham. How come the Mishnah does not mention anything about Maaser Sheni regarding Novin Givon? Answers the Gemara. So Maaser Sheni Nami Lo Lisnei. I'm sorry, Nami Lisnei. Amalei Maaser Sham Sham Mi Aron Kalyalfi. So the Gemara says no, because as we already pointed out a number of times, why was there a Heter Bamos in Gilgal, and why was there a Heter Bamos during Novin Givon? So primarily, it's because the Aron was not a fixed permanent structure, neither in Gilgal nor in Novin Givon. In Gilgal for those 14 years, so the Aron was always in transit. when we were conquering the land, so the Aron went around with us while we were conquering. And but the truth of the matter is, I'm just thinking out loud right now, that only really accounts for the first 7 years, not for the second 7 years. But in any event, the Aron was not a fixed permanent structure of the Gilgal, and Novin Givon as well. We know that after the Churban Shiloh, after the destruction of Shiloh, so the Aron was taken. So we know that the Aron was not a fixed structure of Novin Givon as well. So if that's the case, so the reason why the mission did not mention eating Maaser Sheni around Novin Givon is because we have a Gzera Shava of Sham that we learn from the Aron. So Kayafi Kevin the Aron Lohave, Maaser Nami Lohave. Since the Aron is not there, so therefore it does not become a centralized location for eating the Maaser Sheni. E Hachi continues the Gemara Pesach v'Kadashim Nami Desham Shami Aron Yafi, the Kevin the Aron Lohave. Inu nami lohave. So the Gemara makes what seems now to be a reasonable suggestion. So during these 57 years, so Karban Pesach also should have been taken off the table. Because we know that regarding the Karban Pesach also, we have this requirement of Sham, that it has to be there. Meaning, not only in a centralized location, but in a centralized location that has the Aron. So if that's the case, so why are we to suggest now that the Karban Pesach was not eaten during the 57 years of Novin Givon, was not offered and eaten during those years? So the Gemara says, look, what we could suggest now is that the author of the Braisa belongs to that of Rabbi Shimon. And this takes us back to the discussion that we had on the Kuf Yud Zayin. And that is that when we had this period in time where there was decentralized karbanos, where it was not just in that you didn't just bring the karban in a central location, but there was the heter bamos where you're allowed to bring karbanos outside. So what were you allowed to bring in that central location? So if you recall, so we had a machlokus between the Tanaim, five opinions. The fifth opinion was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion that the only thing that could be brought in the central location of Gilgal, or as now we're discussing, Novin Givon, is only Karban Pesach and any obligatory karbanos that are calendaric. But any obligation that is not kavur zman, does not have a fixed time, so it was not offered, neither on a private bamos, not even on the public bamos. Being that that's the case, comes out now that Maaser Behema, Maaser Sheni, meaning all these karbanos, even though they're obligations, simply were not brought during the years of Novin Givon, and as they were not being brought during Gilgal as well. So Maaser Behema, the Gemara now just amplifies this point. Maaser Behema chovah shein kavu lahem zman. Maaser Behema is an obligation, but it's not calendaric. So therefore, it was not brought. V'itkish Maaser Dagan la Maaser Behema. And it comes out now that Maaser Dagan and Maaser Behema go hand in hand, meaning that we have a hekesh connecting the two. So now that they go hand in hand, so just follow the logic ladder. So if Maaser Behema is not brought during the 57 years according to Rabbi Shimon, so that means to say that Maaser Behema is not being brought, Maaser Sheni is not being brought as well. So in other words, the author of this braisa that does not mention Maaser Sheni all belongs to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, okay, and that's if you subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now let's just continue to follow down this logic. Mechlal de la Rav Yehuda Karav. So the Gemara says, so now what you're telling me is that according to Rav Yehuda, all obligatory karbanos are being offered on the Bama, on the Bama Gedola, in the areas of Gilgal and Novin Givon. So that means to say then that Maaser Behema is being brought. If Maaser Behema is being brought, so that means Maaser Sheni is being brought as well. So the Gemara says that's absolutely correct. This is reasonable. In fact, we have a statement by Rav Adar Bar Mastan that exactly punctuates this point, that Maaser Sheni and Maaser Behema are eaten in Novin Givon according to Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, Vahabai Bira. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. In other words, we are now arriving at a conclusion, but it's a little bit strange. Meaning, does Novin Givon have Beis HaMikdash status, where you're going to be bringing both Maaser Behema and Maaser Sheni? So the Gemara says, V'lav Tani Rav Yosef Shalosh Birosein. The Gemara says, it does have Beis HaMikdash status. We already learned this in yesterday. We're going to repeat it again today. Shiloh, Novin Givon were counting as two. Sorry, we're counting that as one. Shiloh, Novin Givon, Beis Olamim, who? So these three have Bira status, meaning they have Beis Hamikdash status, and therefore it is perfectly reasonable to suggest that we're going to bring Maaser Sheni and eat them there. So Hu Tanila Vuhu Amarla Lachilas Maaser Sheni. And as far as the statement was concerned, so this is in reference to the consumption of Maaser Sheni, and this is according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. So just a recap. What we just learned together is that the Braisa talks about the 57 years of Novin Givon, and once again, where there's a Heter Bamos, the Braisa doesn't mention the consumption of Maaser Sheni during this period of time. And so what the Gemara now simply points out is that whether or not Maaser Sheni was eaten during the years of Novin Givon is going to be a function of whether or not we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon or the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. Going back to the Machlokas that we learned back on Kuf Yud Zayin in terms of what was brought during the years of Gilgal Novin Givon on the central location of the of where the Mizbech was set up, so according to Rabbi Shimon, really limited. Rabbi Shimon only has karbanos that were a chova, that were an obligation, and kavu lahem zman had a fixed time to be brought, meaning it was connected to the calendar. That means that according to Rabbi Shimon, we did not bring any kind of karbanos, even though there were obligations, we did not bring any karbanos that were not connected to the calendar. Maaser behema, Bechoros, none of those karbanos were brought during these years, not on the private bama, not on the public bama as well. Comes down now that according to Rabbi Shimon, if Maaser Behemah is not being brought, Maaser Sheni is also not being brought, because the two of them are connected. However, if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, Maaser Sheni and Maaser Behemah are being brought to these locations. Do they have Beis Hamikdash status for Maaser Sheni? And the Gemara's conclusion was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the answer is yes, they do. We are on Kuf Yates Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots towards the about two-thirds of the way down on the Amud. Barley Yerushalayim. We get to Yerushalayim. Tanu Rabbanu Ki Lo Basa Madata El Menucha Ve'El Nachla. Once again, we quote from this week's Parsha, Parshas Re'eh. We haven't arrived at the points of Menucha Nachla, Menucha Zu Shiloh. Menucha is a reference to Shiloh, Nachla Zu Yerushalayim. And Nachla is a reference to Yerushalayim. I know we've said this already a number of times, but as we're going to learn together in the Braisa, this is not a unanimous opinion. Ve'omer. And the Gemara says that here within this opinion, that Menucha, Shiloh, and Nachla is Yerushalayim, we have support from this from other Pesukim in Tanakh. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Aisa li Nachla si ka'aryeh biya'ar. It is like to me a inheritance in the forest. I'm sorry, like a lion in the forest. V'omer ha'ay etzavu Nachla si nachalti li ha'ay etzaviv aleha. Another Pasuk also, talking about how there were birds of prey surrounding it. But in other words, that the Nachla over here is a reference to Yerushalayim despite the fact that it was surrounded by enemies. Divrei Rav Yehuda. These are the words of Rav Yehuda, meaning it is Rav Yehuda's opinion that Menucha is a reference to Shiloh and Nachla is a reference to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite. Menucha is Yerushalayim. That the Menucha reference in this week's Sedra is a reference to Yerushalayim. And Nachla is Shiloh. And Nachla is a reference to Shiloh. The Omer, and he also has Pesukim in Tanakh that support this position. Zos Menuchasi Ade Ad. Po Eshev. Ki Avise. One Pasuk in Tehillim describes that the Menucha is Ade Ad, it's forever. Here it's where I sit. Here it's where I want. And we have another pasuk also supporting this idea as well. But it's here that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose, and this is going to be his permanent station. So we have indications in the pesukim that actually Menucha is a reference to Yerushalayim, and Nachla therefore must be Shiloh. Now the obvious question is the Gemara asks: Bishlam l'man damar Menucha zushila hayne dichsev al Menucha v'al Nachla. So if you subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Menucha is Shiloh and Nachla is Yerushalayim, so then this week's parsha presents the Bate Mikdashim in correct chronological order. Menucha comes first, which is Shiloh, and Nachla comes second, which is Yerushalayim. Elamand, Amar Menucha is Yerushalayim, Nachla is Shiloh. But let's go in the other direction, where Menucha is a reference to Yerushalayim, and Nachla is a reference to Shiloh. So here, El Nachla and Menucha mi bayinle. So then what the Torah should have done, it should have reversed the order. So Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, but that, if it were for just that question alone, we can navigate. Here's what the Torah could be saying. lo mi bay menucha de lo matisi, ela afilo lanachla nami lo matisu. It goes without saying that you haven't got to the point of menucha, meaning right now we're understanding menucha to be Yerushalayim. You haven't gotten to the point of menucha. You haven't even gotten to the point of nachla, which is a reference to Shiloh. Okay, so we could read the psukim, even though it's out of order, we could read the psukim that menucha is Yerushalayim, nachla is Shiloh. Bishlam lamadam menucha zu Shiloh, and nachla zu Yerushalayim. So gabe, I'm sorry. Inami ibcha hainu dichsiv la menucha vela nachla. No, I skipped. Sorry. Okay. Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry. Okay. On the bottom of Kuf Yates Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Zuvazu Shilo, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochamer, Zuvazu Yerushalayim. Okay. And two more opinions on the matter. The Braisa brings down that according to Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the two terms of Menucha and Achla are both a reference to Shiloh, and according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they are both references to Yerushalayim. Okay. Bishlama, now we're good. Bishlama lamanda am Menucha zu Shiloh. So according to the opinion that says that Menucha is a reference to Shiloh, and Achla zu Yerushalayim, inami ibcho, even if you're going to say the opposite, hainu dichsiv el ha-Menucha ve'el ha-Nachla. Meaning, the Torah seems to be clearly identifying two different locations. Meaning, it says two menucha and two nachla. So that seems to give pretty clear indication that we're talking about two different locations. Alamanda mezuvazushila o zuvazushalai menucha nachla mi baile. But if they're either both referencing Yerushalayim or they're both referencing Shiloh, so shouldn't the Torah leave out the word El twice? Shouldn't it just simply say Nachla Menucha? Meaning, I understand that the Torah is giving it two adjectives, but it should leave out the word El HaMenucha VeEl HaNacha. Nachla, so Kasha, the Gemara says, okay. And the Gemara admits that this is difficult, and it's certainly hard to support this position, but the position is certainly defensible. Bishlam Laman Dharma Zivazu Shila Menucha De Nachim Mekivush and Nachla De Pagu Hasam Nachlos Dichsi VaYichalak Lam Yeshua VaYapalahem Gorav B'Shila Api Hashem. I actually understand, says the Gemara, that both of these are adjectives describing Shiloh. Consider, says the Gemara, that as far as Menucha is concerned, what does Menucha mean? It means we stop conquering. Meaning conquering and dividing took 14 years. After those 14 years, then we set up camp in Shiloh, and that's when we rested. Meaning basically we're settled. And so that explains the words Menucha. And as far as Nachla is concerned, well, Nachla also makes a lot of sense because it is from Shiloh that the land was divided amongst the Shvatim. The Pasuk says in Yeshua, Vayechalek lam Yeshua, Vayapalam Goral. So the lottery was taken in terms of determining who was going to get which land, and that was done in Shiloh. So good. So the terms Menucha and Nachla are both appropriate to be used in the context of Shiloh. So, but let's now try to defend the other position, that they're both making reference to Yerushalayim. If they're both making reference to Yerushalayim, how do the terms Menucha and Nachla both describe Yerushalayim? So, Bishlama Nachla, Nachlas Olamim. So, I understand Nachla because it is Nachlas Olamim, it's an inheritance forever. So, that's a description of Yerushalayim. Ela Menucha, my Menucha. So, the Gemara says, but how is Yerushalayim described as Menucha? But the Gemara says, Menuchas Aron. It means that this is now where the Aron is going to be settled. Meaning that we know that after the destruction of Shiloh, the Aron was taken away. And then the Aron was only finally put back in its permanent location in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And that's how it could be understood as Menucha from the perspective of the Aron. Now the Gemara says, now let's say that Menucha and Nachla are both referencing Yerushalayim. What does that mean? That must mean then that there was a Heter Bamos that existed all the way up into Yerushalayim. Meaning this is an idea which we really have not articulated yet. And clearly the other Tanaim disagree with this. But in other words, but there was a Heter Bamos from the time that we went into Eretz Yisrael all the way up to the time of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So that means for those 480 years there was a Heter Bamos. If Menucha and Nachla are both describing Yerushalayim, then the pasuk of Ish Kol Yashar Beinav is going all the way through. And then the Gemara says, I'll tell you when, then what makes perfect sense, and that is Vayikach Manoach is Gidi Yazim Vesa Mincha Vayal El Atzur La Hashem. So then we understand the story with Manoach, Eshes Manoach, and of course the birth of Shimshon, meaning in the Navi and Shoftim, so we have Manoach offering a carbon. Now Manoach lived clearly in the period of the time of Shoftim, which means that he lived during the time of Shiloh. Now how is he offering a carbon in his backyard during the time of Shiloh? So if you subscribe to the viewpoint that Menucha and Nachla are both a reference to Yerushalayim, so then it makes perfect sense, meaning because Bamos were allowed for all those years. But if you subscribe, Delaman Damazivazu Shiloh, if they're both referencing to Shiloh, Ubamos Hava Esirin, and that means that Bamos would be prohibited during the time of Shiloh, my Vayikach Manoach, so what does it mean, Vayikach Manoach? How can Manoach take a carbon and offer it in his backyard? So Horaas Sha'a Haisa. So the Gemara's answer over here is that, yeah, you're right. In other words, that was a general prohibition during this historical period of time, but Manoach was given a special dispensation. Now, the Gemara is not clear who gave the dispensation. Was it Manoach who gave the dispensation? Was it the Malach who gave him the dispensation? It's not clear in the Gemara who exactly was the one who distributed this the special dispensation, but Gemara says it was Harasha. Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel ke Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. We have now, Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel ends up following the opinion of the Rashbi, the Amar Ziv is Yerushalayim, that they both are a reference to Yerushalayim. So now, if you go back to the bottom of the previous Amud, now it comes out that Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel ends up agreeing with the Rashbi that Nachla and Menucha are both a reference to Yerushalayim. And so that means that there was a Heter Bamos all the way up to Yerushalayim. Now again, all this is not agreed to by our Mishnah. Our Mishnah clearly is of the opinion that Shiloh, the 369 years of Shiloh, interrupted the Heter Bamos, and there was an Issur Bamos during those years. So just to be clear, meaning even though now we have two Tanayim, both Tana Deberi Rabbi Shmuel and the Rashbi, who say that Nachla Menucha are reference to Yerushalayim, and only to Yerushalayim, but certainly that doesn't agree with our Mishnah. Visimancha, the Gemara says, and just to help you remember, help you remember who went to whose side, Mashche Gavra LeGavri. So the one individual was able to draw over the other individuals, the many individuals. The Gavra is one individual, Gavri are many individuals. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi over here understands it to mean, the Rashbi is one individual, and when we say Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, that means it's a school of people. So in other words, that the Rashbi on this particular issue was able to draw over those of Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, the students of Rabbi Shmuel. We're in the two dots on Kuf Yutes Amud Beis Kol HaKadashim Amar Rav Kahana Loshanu Ela B'Shchita. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah that if you were makdish a carbon, you consecrated a carbon at the time when there was a heter, and then you offer them at the time when there was an iser of bamos, of bama katana, so you're violating the Torah, you violate a lo saseh, but you're not going to be receiving kares. If you remember, this takes us back to the previous parak Yud Gimel. So what we pointed out is that if you look in the parsha of Shechut Yichutz, so there you will find the Torah outlines very clearly the iser of offering a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash once there's a centralized location. If you look carefully at the psukim, we already made this point, but let's make it again. If you look carefully at the psukim, the first six psukim of Perek Yud Zayin describes shechting a carbon outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. But what we did is that we took that parsha, we broke it up into two sections. Sections Aleph, Psukim Aleph through Dalid, that's talking about where you were makdashit and you shechted it at a time when there was an Isser Bamos. That's where the person, if he did that, and he did it intentionally, is going to be receiving kares. Psukim Hay and Vav over there is talking about where he was makdashit at a time when there was a Heter Bama, and he shechted it at the time there was an Issur Bama. Those psukim also clearly describe a violation, but it does not come with it in Issur Kares. It's only an asay and a lav. I say only, just relatively speaking. So now let's go back to our Gemara. Amar Rav Kahana Loshana Le B'Shchita. This is true only as it relates to Shchita, meaning this distinction that I just made, in terms of when the person was makdish it. However, aval behalah, but when it comes to the second Isser in the Torah, and that psukim, Zion, Ches, and Tes, when it comes to the Isser of halah, kares nami mechayev, you're always going to be chayev kares. Meaning, even if you were makdish the carbon at a time when there was a heter bama, if you shechted it outside the base of Mikdash, you're not subject to kares. But if you offer it, you are going to be subject to kares. Now, my time of why? Damakra, va'aleim tomar. Ala smuchim tomar. Va'aleim tomar, right now we're understanding the word va'aleim means on them, meaning on the parts that you're offering, even though it would, of course, work out much better if the pasuk was written with an ayin, not an aleph. And we're going to get to that point. We already discussed that point, but we're going to get to that point again. Va'aleim tomar, ala smuchim tomar. Meaning on that which we just described, meaning on the carbon that you were makdish at a time of heter bama, and you offered it and you shechted it at a time of iser bama. So there's not going to be kares. However, if you continue now and offer it on a bama outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even though at the time when you were makdish it was a heter bamas, you're still going to be subject to kares. This is the opinion of Rav Kahana. Maskev l'Rabba miksiva aleim tomar aleim ksiv. So first of all, the first question is that the pasuk does not say it with a ayin, it says with an aleph. It's not talking about the carbon, it's talking about the person. And on top of that, we also have the rule of Rabbi Shimon, and that is basically categorically, we can look at it in four different categories. Number one, Higdishim b'shas iser habamus v'shachar v'hela b'shas iser habamus v'chutz hara'in b'aseh v'lo sa'aseh v'yishmem karis. If you consecrated the carbon and you offered it, and shechted it and offered it at all during the time where there was a iser of bamos, so then you're subject to violating a positive commandment, a negative prohibition, and also iser karis if done intentionally. Higdishim, that's number one. Number two, higdishim b'shas heter bamos v'shachar v'hela b'shas iser bamos. If you were makdish at a time when there was a heter bamos, and then you shechted it and offered it at a time when there was an iser bamos. Harein ba'aseh v'lo sa'aseh v'ein b'hen karis. So under these circumstances, you violated the positive commandment and a negative prohibition, but there is no kares. Now, we could pause right here in the Braisa. This Braisa clearly is not in agreement with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was making the argument that even if there's no kares for Shchutei Chutz when you were makdishit at a time of Heter Bamos, but he was arguing that there would be Isser kares for Hela B'chutz. This Braisa that we're learning right now clearly does not take that position. This Braisa, as we just learned, in category number two, clearly describes that if you were makdishit at a time of heter bamos and you shechted and offered it outside, you are only going to be subject to an essay and a los essay, but you're not subject to kares. So clearly the Braisa does not agree with the statement of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is an Amora, and he can't just simply dispute a Braisa. And number three, back to the Braisa. Category number three, Higdishim b'shas iser abamos v'shachar v'hela b'chutz b'shas heter abamos. Let's say that he was makdish at a time when there was a iser abamos, and then he offered it, shechted it and offered it at a time of heter abamos, harehein b'aseh, v'ein b'hem lo sa'aseh. So here he only violates a positive commandment, not a negative prohibition, and certainly not kares. And finally, number four, Higdishim b'shas heter abamos v'shachar v'hela b'shas heter abamos, patur miklum. If he was makdish it and shechted it and offered it at a time when there was an allowance to offer bamos, so then there is no liability whatsoever, meaning it's a heter bamos. So tiyufta de Rav Kahana tiyufta. After having gone through the Braisa, the Gemara clearly concludes that the Braisa is clearly going against the opinion of Rav Kahana. V'ilu kadash, v'ilu kadashim. The Mishnah then goes through a list. If you remember now, going back to the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Beis, so the list was made up of differences between offering a carbon on a Bama Gadola versus a Bama Katana. So during these brief historical periods of time, 14 years of Gilgal, 57 years of Nob and Givon, what would be differences between offering a carbon in your backyard versus offering it in a central location? And so the Mishnah gave us 11 distinctions. And what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is just going to simply cite sources for how do we know that these are real differences. So smicha dichsiv lifnei Hashem v'samach. And you're going to see a constant theme throughout all these Gemaras. That in other words, these requirements, these 11 requirements in the psukim, as the Torah describes them, are all going to have some reference of lifnei Hashem. They have to be done in front of Hashem, which means that it has to be in the presence of some sort of Beis HaMikdash. So, Smicha Dichsiv Lifnei Hashem V'Samach. Shechita Safon Dichsiv Safon Lifnei Hashem. So far we've established Psukim for both Smicha and the idea that it has to be Shechta on the north side. None of this has to be done by Bama Ketana. Matano Saviv Dichsiv, applications that go all around. The Pasuk says V'Zarak Al HaMizbech Saviv. Now, you have to look at Rashi over here, because Rashi points out that if you read on in the Psukim, it says Asher Pesach Ol Moed. So that is that's clearly requiring to go all around the Mizbech with blood application, but only on the Mizbech that is in a Beis HaMikdash. Tenufa Dichsi Vehinifa Kohen Lifnei Hashem. Tenufa, the waving, it says Lifnei Hashem. Hagasha, which is done by a mincha, and again, mincha, as we already pointed out, it's controversial whether or not a mincha was offered in a Bama Ketana altogether, but Hagasha Dichsivi Gishal HaMizbech. The Hagasha requirement, if you subscribe to the opinion that a mincha is offered on a Bama Ketana, there's no Hagasha requirement. It says El HaMizbech. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Mincha Babama. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there was no mincha that was offered on a Bama Ketana. Amr Rav Sheshel Zedivra Omer Yesh Mincha Babama Yesh Ofos Babama Zedivra Omer Ein Mincha Babama Ein Ofos Babama. A statement we saw earlier in the Masechta, but the Gemara here repeats, is that the question of whether or not you offer a mincha on a bama is also going to be tied into whether or not you're going to be offering birds as well. How come these two points are connected? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Zvachim velo menachos. Zvachim velo ofos. Because if you're looking at the word zevach is only a reference to an animal, so animals exclude mincha, animals also exclude bird as well. Meaning that the standard zevach is traditionally the animal, the four-legged creature. The Kohen, there's a Kohen requirement. Dichsiv v'zaraka Kohen, v'zaraka Kohen. Big day sharis l'sharis b'kodesh. Ukli sharis asher yishasum bam b'kodesh. So these three requirements of Kohen, big day kahuna, kli sharis are only by central location, it's not by the Bama Ketana. Reach nichol, dichsiv l'reach nicholach l'Hashem. Reach Nichoch, which presumably is a reference to Kavana. So these special Kavanas are not needed by the Bama Ketana. Michitzas bedamim dichsiv aisa hareshes ad chatzi ha-mizbech. As far as dividing the Mizbech, top portion, bottom portion, that's only by central location Mizbech. It's not in the backyard. Richus yadayim dichsiv v'karvetem ala mizbech yichatzu. The washing of the hands is not required for the Bama Ketana. Okay, adkan. Okay, so a number of considerations that you have by the Bama Ketana that you have by the Bama Gedola that you do not have by the Bama Ketana, and the Gemara just simply cited all the Psukim that make this point very clear.